Corwin put down his empty glass, folded his hands on his chest, and remained attentive but silent. "Anthy became poisonously jealous of us," Akio went on. "Before long, she hated us. Me for transcending my Svartelven blood to become the light of hope for our world. Emerald for taking Zagato. Zagato for making the mistake of falling for the bright sister rather than the dark. She maintained her illusion of loving kindness, doting on us all, while inside she hated and plotted to end our happiness. One day she had her chance. It was a difficult season in Sephiro. Many more people than normal were in need of my help. That may have had something to do with Emerald's distraction, with Zagato always at her side, but I didn't grudge them their time together. I was willing to work for their happiness because I loved them. One day, though, I pushed myself a bit too hard and fell ill." Akio closed his eyes and sighed. "It was just the opportunity my sister was waiting for. From somewhere she had learned the dark arts of our mother's people, and while I lay helpless in my bed, sweating out the fever, she destroyed me." Corwin looked thoughtful. "With an axe?" he asked, sounding slightly hopeful. Akio gave him an irritated glance. "Oh, no. No, violence isn't subtle enough to give shape to Anthy's hatreds. She did something far worse than maim my body. She stripped away my identity. She played on our tie of blood to tear the power of the prince away from me and seal it up within herself. When that happened..." Akio spread his hands helplessly. "I ceased to be Dios and became what I am. I didn't want to believe that she could have done such a thing deliberately, and she provided me with the means to deny it. Wide-eyed and innocent, she told me that she had not understood the full import of what she was doing, that she had only wanted to help me by lifting my burden for a time. And I wanted so badly to believe her, because she was my sister, that I did. Though I knew in my heart it was a lie." Corwin grunted noncommittally. "With the pillar and the high priest still distracting each other, without a prince to preserve the balance in spite of their dalliance, Sephiro began to crumble," said Akio. "My desperation grew with each passing day until, finally, I went a bit mad," he admitted. "I became obsessed with repairing the damage my sister had done. She insisted that she didn't know how to reverse the curse she'd branded me with, pleaded with me just to rest and have a normal life with her, but that was merely a clever ploy. She knew her entreaties would have the opposite effect and drive me to some desperate length to recover what I had lost. And indeed it did. It took me years, but eventually I worked my way into the confidences of the Otori Academy trustees, became their deputy chairman, essentially took over the school. The Academy is the key to Sephiro," he explained. "Within its walls are the leaders and luminaries of the Tenth World always trained. Upon its dueling floor are the changes in the Trinity always decided. Once I had control of the school, I was able to modify the duelist's code and launch a new Rose tournament." Akio chuckled bitterly. "Anthy agreed to be the Rose Bride for my altered tournament, my desperate experiment. At the time, with my mind already weakened by my obsession, I took it for proof that she really did feel remorse for having brought me low. Little did I know that my plan was instrumental in her own agenda. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The modified tournament had one real purpose, in my mind, to free the power of the prince from the prison of my sister. By then I didn't care if it came back to me or went to a suitable replacement, so long as my world had a prince again. I was cold and manipulative, I admit that, but I was desperate. My world was dying. And only by using the most brilliant of the Academy's brilliant student body, ruthlessly, without remorse, could I hope to save it." Cautiously, Corwin supposed that he could see that under the circumstances. Akio nodded and continued. "And then Anthy played her own trump card and brought a ringer into my tournament. I had completely forgotten the girl I'd given one of my signet crests to, sometime before my illness, but Anthy somehow found her and used the fact of that ring to involve her in the duels. She abandoned the Rose Bride's sworn neutrality and supported one candidate, an accidental candidate at that, over the ones I had carefully groomed for the position." "Ah," said Corwin, looking enlightened. "Initially, when I made contact with this interloper, I thought to discourage her, shoo her gently out of the place where she had no business being, and get on with things. But that was before I actually met her." After that, I found it difficult to consider sending her on her way. I started to think that, unconventional though it was, she might make a good prince after all, or at least prove able to unlock the power and return it to me. Or perhaps that was wishful thinking and rationalization. My mind was so muddled with all that I was trying to keep in the air at once that I can't say for certain. I didn't know then that she was the Rose Knight, of course. She had no idea herself, but she was. That was what allowed her to survive, untrained and untutored, in the tournament in the first place. I simply thought she was remarkable. She dominated my thoughts. Akio smiled a bit wistfully. I did some things which, in retrospect, must have been awfully transparent. I was like a schoolboy again. It was all really rather stupid. I'm sure it amused Anthea enormously. At any rate, well... Akio shrugged. Ah, it was a long time ago. I don't know why I'm getting so choked up. I guess she was just that special to me. We were lovers, you know, the Rose Knight and I. Did she tell you that? Corwin glanced up, meeting Akio's dark green gaze for a moment, and something flickered behind the cool blue of his eyes for just the briefest instant. Akio missed it, and the ace's face was calm and his voice impassive as he replied, "Yes, I think she mentioned it." Akio smiled. "I'm glad she remembers," he said. "Of course, she's been with Anthe so long now that I'm sure her memories of me are all tainted, twisted. But at least she remembers me at all. That's something." Corwin said nothing. "Not long after that," Akio went on, his tone becoming almost self-consciously brisk, "Anthe made the next of her moves. She plied her own charms, poisoned the Rose Knight against me, broke her heart, and turned her love for me into hate. Charged with such negative emotions, she completed the tournament, but something went wrong, as Anthe must have known it would. The Rose Knight, even with her heart destroyed, became the prince, but in the same instant was cast out of Sephiroth, the barrier sealed behind her. Now Sephiroth not only did not have a prince, but could never regain one. I had failed, spectacularly and apparently irreversibly." Akio drained the last of his brandy, put the snifter down, and let out a long sigh. "As you might imagine, that, coming on top of the double loss of the Rose Knight herself, didn't help my mental state much. Fortunately," he added with a bitter grin, "my darling sister was able to comfort me. She told me not to despair, that there was another way, another path I might take to save Sephiroth if I only dared take it. Well, of course, I was well beyond desperate by then. I leaped at the chance. 'Tell me what to do and it will be done,' I said, 'for the sake of our world.' She told me the path was a simple one. The prince was so desperately needed because the pillar and the priest weren't attending to their jobs. They would have to be replaced." "Hmm," said Corwin. "Logical enough." "Indeed," Akio agreed dryly. "Oh, your burden has been so great already, brother dear," said Anthe. "Let me shoulder the weight of the pillar, and you can be my priest and support me. Together we can return Sephiroth to its glory." Akio sighed. "So we went to Emerod and Zagato and told them what must be done." "That can't have made them happy," Corwin observed. "No," Akio chuckled. "You have a talent for understatement, my friend. They flew into a rage, accused us of plotting against them, which, after all, we were. Emotions ran high. My desperation had begun to unravel the skein of my sanity by then. Everything Anthe said seemed like the unassailable truth. 'If you will not step aside, dear sister,' she said to Emerod, 'then you and Zagato will have to die.' Suddenly, that seemed perfectly logical to me. And Zagato and I fought our last duel, and he died by my hand." Akio looked rather theatrically, Corwin thought, at his hands. "To save my world, I killed my best friend." "But not your half-sister," Corwin pointed out. "You left that little treat for the Rune Knights and me." "I had no choice," Akio told him. "You know full well, you told me yourself, that a Sephirian cannot kill the pillar. But with Zagato gone, Emerod summoned the Outworlders, and her minion Clef made them knights, and you were caught in the middle of it all. But how lucky for me that you were," Akio went on. "How lucky. This is what I wanted to thank you for. By the sheer luck of your arrival, you prevented me from completing my sister's mad scheme. You stopped me from handing her ultimate power over Sephiroth." Corwin gazed at him, his face unreadable. You're trying to tell me she wanted to be in that magic circle. The one you had to throw her bodily into after tearing her out of Utena's arms. Akio smiled indulgently. You still don't understand. That little tableau with the Rose Knight was for your benefit, not hers. It backfired because of the strength of your character. What you were supposed to do was flare up with jealousy and help me prevent your fellow knights from thwarting her investiture as the pillar. It was an act, Corwin. Everything Anthe does is an act, calculated to achieve a particular effect. She misjudged you. She doesn't make that mistake often. In your case, she hasn't made it since. So why did you keep fighting after I stopped her and became the pillar myself? Why challenge me? You must have known I'd have to hand it off to Utena, newly invested as I was. I was counting on it, Akio said. Who else could reforge the Heart of the Rose? When else could it be done? What else could I do? I couldn't leave the Rose Knight crippled. With her heart whole, she stood a chance of shaking off my sister's influence someday. All I could do was induce you to heal her, then face her, and fall. Corwin arched a skeptical eyebrow. You lost on purpose. I'm not saying I would certainly have won otherwise, said Akio, but yes, I did. Think of it as an atonement. I was the prince once. It seemed fitting to sacrifice myself for the good of my replacement. Of course, I had to make it look good for Anthe. And you saw the true depth of her madness when I asked her for her help that one last time. Corwin declined to comment on that point. Instead, he gestured around the office. And for that, you end up a Duke of Hell? Good work if you can get it. My work was incomplete, Akio explained. He didn't bat an eye when Corwin spoke the title, which meant the young god's educated guess had been right. No demon referred to by an incorrect title can resist correcting the speaker. Surtur offered me a means of perhaps finishing it, Akio went on. Of course I jumped at the chance. My time here has given me perspective on Anthea's lies, made me realize the enormity of her evil. If this is what I must become, to have the best chance of cleansing the universe of the stain of her perversion, then I embrace it without hesitation. She is a scourge, a blight, a sweet-faced monster, an assassin of joy, corrupting and destroying everything she touches. Corwin's eyes narrowed a little. That's the mother of my child you're talking about there, he said in a cold, dangerous tone, the first real emotion he'd shown all evening. Akio shook his head sadly. Corwin, Corwin. The child is a perfect example of the sort of thing I mean. Do you think Anthe really wanted one? Don't be stupid. It isn't about the child. It's about power, manipulation, control. It's about rubbing the Rose Knight's nose in her own powerlessness, reminding her who really runs their life together. You and the Rose Knight orbit each other like a binary star, almost scorching each other with your heat, but never quite touching. Anthe knows that. How could she not? And so she set out to show you both that though she will never allow the Rose Knight to have you, she can have you herself, if she wishes. Akio made a negligent gesture. The child is merely a reminder, there to twist the knife. My sister cares nothing for it, will care nothing for it when it is born. Its only value is as a means to an end, a demonstration of Anthea's power. I'm sorry, Corwin, I know this must be hard for you to hear, but you must hear it. You should have heard it long ago, but I lacked the power base to attempt this sort of contact, on equal footing, under the forms of peaceful discourse. Corwin gazed thoughtfully at Akio for several minutes. Then he sat back, steepled his hands, and said, "So why must I hear it? Why are you telling me all this now? Because you hate to see people deceived and in pain? You're in hell, Akio. If that bothered you too much, you'd have jumped out that window by now." Akio chuckled. "No, I've become inured to that kind of thing," he said. "No, Corwin, I'm telling you this because we are two of a kind, victims of my sister's grasping heartlessness. We are brothers, Corwin, brothers in loss, in denial. Anthe's cruelty has made us kin, and kinsmen help each other." This met with a look of bemused interest from Corwin, and the skeptical but encouraging rejoinder, "And what sort of help do you want from me, brother?" Akio smiled. "You are quick," he said. "I knew I was right to approach you, that it wasn't too late for you yet. Yes, I do want, I need your help." Mm-hmm. With? With the destruction of my plague of a sister, of course. A storm is coming in Midgard. You and I both know it, and it could easily sweep over Sephiro as well. With you, the Rose Knight, and the rest of the Rune Knights under Anthea's thumb, what would become of the Tenth World in the event of a serious conflagration? It's intolerable to consider. No, I've held back from this final act for a long time now, out of some lingering filial sentiment, but no longer. I must face the facts. Anthea's mad and dangerous. She must be destroyed before she leads Sephiro to ruin. And you want me to help you? You are indispensable, Akio replied flatly. She thinks she controls you as completely as she does the Rose Knight, but I think she's wrong. I think now that you know the truth, you'll understand that what I propose is the only way. Corwin folded one arm over the other and scratched thoughtfully at his ill-shaven chin. You ask a lot, he said finally. Even assuming I were willing to kill the mother of my only child, whatever the motivations behind her conception, the others would hunt me to the ends of the universe. Anthea inspires loyalty. Akio gave a bleak laugh. She always has, curse her. But with her lying tongue stilled, with her influence removed, I believe the others can be made to see the truth, the necessity of it. I'll take care of that. All you have to do is the deed itself. Corwin sighed dubiously, still worrying at his chin. Do I have to decide right now? He finally asked. Time grows short, Corwin, Akio said urgently. You know that better than I. What business has kept you with the Aesir Council since July? The storm is coming, and once it breaks there may not be time to act. Better to make the change now, so Sephiro can be stable again by the time the storm breaks. Wait until the child is born, if you like, but... Yes, that may be best. Then you can strike while she's incapacitated. Said Corwin, tapping at the point of his chin with his index finger, his face deep in thought. Listen to me, said Akio, leaning across the table, his eyes intense. The Rose Knight is lost to me, Corwin. We both know that. Anthea has done too good a job of poisoning her memories of me. She will never accept me, even once Anthea's lies are silenced. But you have avoided that trap. Anthea is so convinced of your loyalty that she has allowed the Rose Knight to keep her love for you. It amuses my sister to watch your mutual torment, as the two of you hover short of that final consummation for her sake. But to preserve that amusement, she must allow the fires that burn within you both to go unquenched. Her arrogance in that can be her undoing. Corwin blinked slowly, gave Akio a searching look that bore a strange combination of dread and hope. What are you saying? He asked after a moment more, his voice very soft. I'm saying, Akio told him in an insistent murmur, locking his gaze with Corwin's, that if you help me destroy my sister, there will be no one else. She may take some time to accept the needfulness of your action. She may grieve for her illusions, but eventually, inevitably, the Rose Knight will be yours. Join me. Do this for me, and I can make possible your fondest wish. The two men stared into each other's eyes for almost a full minute, the silence between them almost humming with the intensity of the moment. Then, slowly, Corwin's face changed from a tentative, indecisive expression to an icy sneer, and he stood up, almost making Akio bump his chair as he rose along with the ace. You, said Corwin coolly, are a real piece of work, Akio. Oh, it's a good story, and you're a good storyteller. On a bad day, I might even have thought about believing you, if you hadn't tried to get sentimental about Utena. Here's a hint. The next time you try to convince someone you're talking about a woman you love, you might mention her by name at least once. It's difficult, Akio replied, looking aggrieved. She was so special to me, and it ended so badly. Said Corwin dismissively. Sure. There's another thing, too. I might believe on a bad day that I could be a total sap for 4 years running. It's not likely, but it's conceivable. He grinned icily. But my Aunt Belle? He shook his head. I don't think so. A for effort. B for overall execution, F for sloppy detail work. Corman straightened his cloak, stepped right up to Akio, and looked him square in the eyes. "My curse still stands, you scum, you niffling," Corwin spat in a voice of cold but barely contained wrath. "So does my vow to kill you. Not here, not now. That would be improper. As your pal Toga pointed out, there are rules to this sort of thing. But someday, Akio, you're going to screw up and put yourself across my path. And when that happens..." Corwin leaned in another inch so that their noses were almost touching, and whispered in a low, venomous rasp, "I'm going to tear you apart." Whirling on his heel, Corwin strode away. "So long, Akio," he said over his shoulder in an offhanded tone. "Thanks for the beer. I'll tell Anthe you said hi." Akio stared after him for several seconds, fists clenched at his sides, his face smoldering with fury. Then he turned toward Nanami and made a single, jerky, angry, knife-edged gesture with his hand. Nanami sprang up and ran after the outraged ace.